Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Thursday afternoon. Every Thursday at 1 o'clock, we talk to Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet. He's brought to you by Kerry Zire, Remax Elite. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
We're doing fantastic. As long as the voice will stay with me, I'll be okay. If not, Willie's going to ask a lot more questions. So here goes.
You're a gamer.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Speaking of gamers, last night in Edmonton, yeah. That Edmonton-Calgary game got a little crazy, especially early on.
It was great to watch, though. Like, you know, like, I don't know how many people of you down there are familiar with the Battle of Alberta, but when those two teams played in the 80s, those games, they were full of hate. Like, they were hate-filled hockey. Guys got legit hurt. There were four fights a night, and they were two of the best teams in the league, so the games really mattered. And it's been a long time since the two teams have been good enough at the same time that these games really mattered. And now it looks like about time we're back there. There was hate. They're both good. They're competing for first place in the Pacific Division. And that was nasty, intense hockey. And I can't have enough of that. And to be honest, I wish there was more of it.
You know, we had David Poile on for his weekly with us on Tuesday, and
yeah.
The Predators are going to close out their month tonight in Newark against New Jersey, and then it's going to be a lot of hockey in February and March. They're two most loaded months of the season, and as you know, Elliot, the trading deadline is late in the month of February, and we just flat out asked David, you know, how much is game by game, everything, you know, you see, especially early on, like so let's say the next couple weeks, going to change what you do. And so it is going to be interesting to see what David Poile does at the deadline. What's going to be his approach? Are they going to be buyers, sellers? What is the approach? How would you answer that today?
Well, I had a chance to speak to David yesterday, and I'm going to send him a note that Nashville is 1-0 this season when he talks to me on game day. So, like, he should continue doing that.
Yeah, good job.
He might call you today. He might call you today.
As my wife says, talking to me is like a fate worse than death, so I'm not sure that he's actually going to do that. But we'll see. But, you know, like to me, the last two games is everything about Nashville's season. So Toronto goes in there and they own that game for the most part. You guys had some moments, particularly in the third period when it was almost too late, but for most of the night, Toronto owned that game. And then you go into Washington, a tough place to play. Like, I think the two best teams in the league this year are St. Louis and Washington, okay? And you guys had every excuse to lose that game. There were bad giveaways, you scored on your own net, you had every excuse to get blown out of the building, even with that early lead, and you found a way. Like, I understand why him and you and the fans are so frustrated with Nashville because at times this year, because you look at those two games and you're like, how can this be the same team? And I think that's the problem he's got right now, is that you don't know, you don't believe you're as bad as you were on Monday, but over the year you haven't shown the same resilience you showed last night. And I think that's the problem. I don't think he knows yet what his exact path is. The one thing he told me yesterday, and I do believe this, is he's open to just about anything. That doesn't mean he's going to do anything, but if you have an idea, he's going to listen to it. Because I think he's sitting there, he's looking at some of your guys, and he's saying they're all having their worst years at the same time. And I think when you're in that position, you're sitting there as a manager and you're going, I don't believe that this is the real Matt Duchene. I don't believe that this is the real Ryan Johansson. I don't believe that this is the real Pekka Rinne. I don't believe this is the real Philip Forsberg. Turris, it's been a couple years in a row now, so that's a little bit different. But I think he's going to listen on everything. But I think a lot of his decision-making will come to the fact is, how much of this does he believe this is a blip for some of your star players? Or how much does he believe there's reason to think, uh-oh, like, I've got something to really worry about here?
So I'm asking this question because I think it kind of goes along the same lines of what we just talked about and what you just threw out there. Do you believe this is going to be an active trading deadline? Do you believe this is going to be there's a lot of attractive pieces? Do you think there's going to be a lot of movement? I guess what I'm trying to figure out is if maybe he does sell off some players, is it because the market was bearing some high gifts, I guess, so to speak? How do you think this is going to play out at the deadline?
I will tell you, every year, my coworker Brian Burke, who used to be the GM in Anaheim and Toronto and Calgary, among others, every year he tells me the trade deadline is going to be a dud, and every year something big happens. This is the one that he has the best chance of it actually being a dud. When it comes to the rentals, there's not much. Like the best rental available, Taylor Hall, he's been traded. The next best rental available is Chris Kreider, and that one could go either way. I think the Rangers are going to try to sign him, but I could also see them blown away with an offer where they say, we have to take this. Other than that, I got to tell you guys, the rentals don't really excite anyone. And if I'm you guys in Nashville, I'm not paying a big price for a rental this year because I don't think I'm necessarily good enough to win. Like, you go out and you get a rental. Like, St. Louis, they're going to look at a rental because they think they can win. You're not otherwise looking at a rental unless, A, you're desperate, or, B, you think you can win. Well, I don't right now think you guys can win. And are you desperate? I mean, you guys tell me, is Nashville desperate?
No.
Okay.
No. No.
So you're not necessarily doing that. So
I don't think the
rental market really excites anyone.
Yeah, what you said is true. Now, you've thrown out Granlund and Smith on these airwaves with us. Those would be two players that are going to be free agents at the end of the season. How would you describe them in your rental department? Are they up on a list or right in the middle? How do teams view them?
Well, Granlund's played really well lately, right? So
yep.
I think he's probably improved a little bit. Earlier in the year, and I don't know if it was what you guys were asking or what I think everybody was more down on Nashville before the year. I didn't get the sense there was a lot, but it might have been what you guys were asking as much as anything else. Granlund's played better. Like, I know there's some teams out there who like Granlund. I think there's a couple of teams who like Smith. I haven't heard his name as much, but I have to say I haven't really been looking for it. I just know whatever was being talked about earlier in the year, I never heard anything that was close. If there was something that was close, I'm not aware of it. I think the other thing I would just say about the whole trade situation is that I think what's going to be interesting is if guys get with term become available, guys who have a few more years on their contracts and are not eligible to become free agents, that's going to be the interesting one. That tends to happen more in the off season, but that's going to be the interesting one, and that's where I think you guys could have some interest in some people.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, and, of course, he's got the latest edition of 31 Thoughts up and running. You can watch him on Hockey Night in Canada if you have the certain packages you need down here below the border. Elliot, I want to ask you, often in your 31 Thoughts, you talk about player usage. You know, how often do coaches decide to play the best players? And it dawns on me, and if you watched the two Nashville games, you just talked about the contrast in the performance in both games. But also what they did, they changed from a balance of four lines with the forwards, trying to roll four and have all four be a threat with Kyle Turris centering the fourth line, to having Matt Duchene move to the wing and sort of loading up in more a traditional sense the top two lines. I hear a lot of analytics people say that's how you should run it. You should play your best players more minutes than they do when they roll the four lines. But what are your thoughts philosophically on that?
I don't believe you should play it all equally. You know, the team that you played on Monday night at home, Toronto, they've gone from one philosophy to the other. When Mike Babcock was coaching, he was, like, some guys got more time than others, but he was generally a four-line guy. The new coach, Sheldon Keefe, he rides the horses. Like, he's had nights where guys have played 24, 25, and I think there's been a couple of 26, 27-minute games. Now, I will say this. I think it's easier to do it in the East than the West, where the travel is better. One of the things that helps Toronto and hurts you guys, Toronto's got short trips everywhere, right? They don't have a lot of ridiculous trips.
Right.
You guys have a lot of tougher trips. That makes it different. You have to have depth. If you don't have a good, like when you guys went to the final, you guys had a lot of good players. But I'm a big believer in that I need everybody, but some guys are more equal than others. And that I'm going to ride my horses. Like if there's a TV timeout and my best guys have just been on the ice and they had a great shift, I might throw them right back out after the commercial. I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in the offensive zone. If I have two great players that maybe don't play together a lot, but I need a goal, I'm down a goal in the third period, I'm putting them together maybe in the offensive zone. I'm a big believer in I'm going to need you all, but you're not all going to play the same. I love flexibility. I love creative guys. So, you know, hey, and also, like, people used to coach against Scotty Bowman, the guy who won more Stanley Cups as a coach than anyone else. They said that you always had to be ready for the first 10 minutes of a game against him. And the reason was, is his players knew he would decide who's going tonight in the first 10 minutes. And if you weren't going, you weren't playing. And I always liked that philosophy. If you have a guy who's having a good night, hey, I don't care if he's a fourth liner. Tonight's his night. He's going. And I like that. I do believe in I need all of you, but there's going to be nights where I need more of you than I need of you.
Elliot, one of the things that any general manager whose team is on the bubble will have to decide is what is it going to take to get into the playoffs? If you subscribe to the philosophy of if you get in, you have a chance. So in the West, especially with the Pacific, and I'm sure this got talked about a lot as Calgary and Edmonton were taking the ice here, is the balance of the Pacific. You got the first five teams all within, let me see, 5 points. What does that mean for the last wild card spot or two? Is it 93? Is it 95? I know it can change, but that is something you have to sort of project, isn't it?
Yes. I was told when I went into sports reporting there would be no math.
But we have websites. We have people who do the math for us these days, Elliot.
You guys are smart. I mean, the thing is, like, the one thing you guys have is the games in hand, right? But you got to win them.
Right.
I think what you're looking at is, right now, if you guys win all your games in hand, you're there. But you have no room for error. You have no room for error. This is a weird league in the sense that you can get points for losing. You know, no one else is like that. No one else gives you points for losing of the big four. So it's not only that you have to have the other teams lose, you have to have them lose in regulation. And the other thing that people always forget is it's who's between you. So not only do you guys have to win your games in hand, but you've also got teams between you and that position. So, I mean, I don't know what the exact number is, 93 or 94, I'll be honest. But what I can
and it
tell
can change,
you
right? What it is today may not be what it is in April,
right,
depending on what teams get hot.
Zero margin for error. You have zero margin for error. You cannot afford a losing streak. It's not an option, or else you're going to be out.
Well, who do you pick in the Pacific? Who do you think of that five-team cluster is the best team?
It should be Vegas, but it isn't. I think it's Vancouver.
Wow.
I would never have said this at the beginning of the year, but I think it might be. Like, I thought it was going to be Vegas, and they're not right. Then I thought it was Arizona, and with the goalie going down, Kemper, it's been trouble. Like, Vancouver got beaten up last night. Three guys got hurt. One of them did come back. I think they're the deepest team. Of course, as you guys know, you can be a great team. If your goalie can't stop the puck, you're in big trouble. Right now, their goalies, both of them, they can stop the puck. But Vancouver might be the deepest team.
Elliot, I've got some breaking news for you that you can put maybe
What's
in
that?
31 thoughts, or you can save it for Hockey Night in Canada, whatever you want to do
or,
with this.
Or would this be the 32nd or 33rd thought? That we'll find out if it can
we'll
make the
out.
Cut.
We'll see where this is. This is some really good stuff here. Monday night when Toronto was here, the commissioner, Gary Bettman, was also in the house just making his annual visit to Nashville. And I'm doing the pregame show in Jack Daniel's Barrel House when I had a voice.
Yeah.
And Gary Bettman stopped by, and the place was packed. And so I'm doing a live pregame show. The commissioner sits down with me. We have a really good interview. And when it was over, all the Predators fans that were in there were doing a lot of clapping and cheering. And there were also a lot of Maple Leafs fans in there that were booing the commissioner. My breaking news is Canadians still don't like Gary Bettman. So I don't know if that's something you want to throw in there or not, but they still don't like Gary.
It's a conditioned response, isn't it? You
see
the commissioner, you boo?
Yeah, it is a conditioned response, but I got to tell you guys, I think that's ridiculous. Like,
it is, isn't it?
The Ottawa situation has not been easy here. And I'll tell you, I heard rumors a couple years ago that team might move. He made it very clear they're not going anywhere, okay? And it's twice he's really defended them. He fought very hard to save Calgary and Edmonton when they were in trouble. He brought the NHL back to Winnipeg. I mean, look, the thing about Bettman is, like, sometimes he's so sarcastic in the way he answers questions that it rubs people the wrong way. He absolutely, the way he answers questions drives people crazy. And he almost never admits there's anything wrong with the game, and that drives people crazy. But in terms of how he's treated Canadian hockey fans, he's been really good to them.
Yeah.
And I get that. I just think now you're right. I think it's just a natural condition. It's like Pavlov's dog. You see him, you boo.
Well, he's done a lot for this market and this fan base
Here's my question. Did you give him any Jack Daniels?
No, he didn't ask for any. I would have, but he didn't ask for any. But no.
Next time, just offer it and tell me what he does.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll definitely do that. So I just – look, we've talked about it a lot on this show. Like, he's done a lot. There's some rough times here. Yeah, we've seen all the good, but people that haven't been here very long didn't get to see how close this thing was to – you know, we never got to see it. It could have gone away, but – he fought to keep it here. He was a big part of this franchise staying here. So we always tell people, look, just because everybody else boos him, he's done a lot for Nashville, so we shouldn't boo. That's just us.
Hey, you wouldn't have a team without him.
I know. No doubt about it. And I don't know what Jim Boselli would have done, because does he have any money left?
Where is he?
Where's Jim Boselli?
I see him at the Olympics a lot.
Okay. So he's still got some BlackBerry money.
Yeah. Put it this way. One thing I've learned over the years is that maybe you lose your business money, but you generally don't lose your personal money.
Yeah. They're pretty smart about that. Good stuff. Elliot, thank you as always. I'm sorry that you had to endure my voice or lack of. I'll try to be better next week.
No. There's no problem with that. Like, to me, you're a gamer. It would have been very easy to call into work today and say, I've got an itch in my throat. I'm going to sit at home. You're there, man. Like, that is NHL tough. That's impressive.
Maybe I'll have some Jack Daniels after the show.
I would. I would, yes.
Thank you, Elliot. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Be well.
That is Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. Every week he's brought to you by Carrie Zeyer Remax Elite. We will come back with more of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.